Welcome to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast. Every 2 weeks, we explore news and issues affecting hunters, anglers, and conservation across the northeastern United States. If you enjoy the content here, be sure to subscribe to our print or digital versions by calling 800-535-5191 or visit our website at outdoornews.com. Now, here's your host and a man who claims he's immune to buck fever, New York Outdoor News editor Dan Ladd.
This episode of the Great Northeast Podcast is brought to you by the Family Forest Carbon Program, a collaborative initiative created by two nonprofit organizations, the American Forest Foundation and the Nature Conservancy, assisting landowners in improving the health of their land with long-term sustainable forest management practices while providing guaranteed annual income. Learn more at familyforestcarbon.org. Greetings and welcome to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. Happy to be along and happy to have you along on these final days of September. And as we work our way into October and what many of us consider to be the most wonderful time of the year. Now, I know I've said that quite a few times here on recent podcasts, but it is true. As we continue to work our way towards deer season, in fact, it already has been deer season here in New York. We had a short season in the southern zone, parts of the southern zone, an antlerless deer season from September 13th to the 21st, I believe. And there's some archery seasons open in other northeast states already, and much more to open soon. So that's why we're getting excited, because deer season is on the horizon, and we got a monumental one coming up here in New York because of the crossbow expansion. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We don't have a guest here on the podcast today. I'm going to take the reins and work you through some of this crossbow stuff. I'll share a few personal anecdotes and perhaps a little advice for those of you who are new to crossbow hunting, and maybe reflect on what we've accomplished up to this point, what we've gone through, how we got to where we are, but more importantly, what lies ahead. We'll get right to that when we come back right after this.
Your land is your legacy, but keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land in Vermont, Massachusetts, or New York, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit familyforestcarbon.org and enroll today.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. And before we get into the crossbow discussion, I want to touch on the drought here in the Northeast. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later. But as we speak, outside finally it is raining. And we haven't had this kind of rain, at least here in eastern New York, northeastern New York, in quite some time. Much of New York State is in a drought warning and a fire danger warning. And we'll talk more about that later. But I just wanted to celebrate the fact that it's finally raining. You may even be able to hear it here in my little studio, my little home studio. I got a tin roof on my house, and perhaps you can hear the rain outside. And if so, I don't know whether to apologize for that or raise my hands to the sky for thanks, because we desperately need it. We really, really need it. And again, we'll talk about that more a bit later. Moving on to the subject of crossbows. As you know, here in New York State, back in late August, Governor Kathy Hochul finally signed a bill that cleared both houses almost unanimously that allows for crossbows to be used during the archery seasons here in New York State. For some, it's been a long time coming, and for others, it's dreadful. There's a couple different camps here. I'm one of those guys that if they had an atlatl season, I'd support it. If they had a rock-throwing season, I'd support it. I like seeing hunters get out there in the woods. Now, I know that means competition, and I know there's even concerns about safety when you put more people in the woods. But at the end of the day, folks, we need all the folks we can get amongst our hunting fraternity. That is the bottom line. We are a decreasing percentage of the human population and one that funds things like conservation. So if crossbow is one, a recruitment tool for new hunters, two, a way to keep other hunters in the game, then hey, I'm all for it. I got into crossbow hunting back in 2014. That was right after New York passed what was the former law that we had operated on for the last 11 seasons, where a hunter in New York that wanted to use a crossbow had to buy a muzzleloading privilege. They did not have to take a bow hunter education class. They just had to watch a video or fill out a form, something that said they safely knew how to use a crossbow, and off to the woods they went. In some cases, these were bow hunters who became crossbow hunters. Maybe it was someone who had an injury or was aging. In others, it was people who picked one up for the first time. Now, a couple of years ago, we had an ADA thing come along that put 7,000 crossbow hunters in New York woods throughout the season. That was kind of the writing on the wall for this, if you ask me. Maybe, maybe not. But anyways, I figured being an outdoor writer, it's probably in my best interest, if I'm going to write about crossbows, to learn about them. So I purchased a crossbow, and I still have the same crossbow. It's fully functional. I like it. I shoot it. I shot it a lot more those first few years, hunted with it quite a bit. We had a three-day season that began just before the muzzleloading season here in the northern zone, and, of course, the two-week season that preceded the southern zone deer season, or rifle season, I should say. I'm not a big southern zone hunter, but I did get over there a little bit, but I'm definitely an Adirondack guy. So I experimented with the crossbow, shot it quite a bit, and came to enjoy it, I have to say. And about a year ago at this time, when the debate was heating up, I wrote an article in my column in New York Outdoor News about the pros and cons of both. After 10 years of carrying a crossbow during part of the season, hunting with both a recurve and a compound bow during part of the season, I figured I would weigh in. And this is 100% honest, transparent. And it's, on the other hand, it's just the way I feel. And I'm only one hunter. We all have to make our own decisions about what we like and don't like. So let me reflect a little bit about that article and on that article as I recall. And I'm going to start with a tree stand. I got to tell you, taking a crossbow up a tree stand is kind of intimidating, especially if you're going to cock it up there, which you should do that. You shouldn't carry a cocked crossbow up a tree stand, and certainly one that doesn't have an, or that happens to have an arrow or bolt, whatever you want to call it. And it, we, for safety reasons, we certainly don't want to go there. So you climb up a tree stand, you cock your crossbow. That can be difficult depending on the tree stand you're in. If you're in a double stand or even one of these little hunt houses, hey, that's a different story. But if you're in a single stand, well, God bless you if you've got a method for it, because it's a challenge for me having the room to do it in a 1.5 person stand. So with that, most of my crossbow hunting has been out of a blind or in a big stand, a ground blind. So if I'm going to a tree stand, most of the time I have opted to carry my compound bow, and may even be doing some of that this season, the one that lies ahead. And that's just one of the, areas that I weighed crossbow versus compound bow. Another one is carrying the thing. I'm not a guy that just sits in a tree stand all the time. And again, this is just my style of hunting. We all are different, and you're going to have your own reasons for liking or not liking a crossbow. But for me, I like to still hunt. One of the things I've always enjoyed, especially back when I was a little younger, had a little more time, used to take a week's vacation to start the bow season here in the northern zone. And I would spend the middays walking, scouting. I'd be going into sometimes the deep woods, or I'd be just sneaking through deer country, hoping to get a shot. When I started recurve hunting about 20 years ago, that's when I switched from carrying the compound, which I always found to be a little bulky in that respect, to carrying a recurve. And I've never even shot a recurve arrow at a deer, but I've had a lot of fun just walking through the woods with that light recurve. Now take that to the crossbow. These crossbows are heavy. I can't even tell you what mine weighs, but I'm going to guess it's in the 8-pound range, maybe more. But it's bulky. And when you are carrying a cocked and loaded crossbow, you've got to keep that in front of you, not behind you. You don't sling it over your shoulder. You keep it pointed at the ground. You're carrying it with two hands in a stalking position. And it's not like a rifle where the rifle leans against your shoulder. You've got the actual bow itself to contend with, at least on my unit. Now, some of the newer units are smaller, more compact. Some of the reverse crossbows maybe are a little different in that respect. I don't know, because I haven't carried them. But in terms of my crossbow, it's a challenge to carry it. So long walks are out of the question unless I'm going to hike into a spot, cock the crossbow when I get there, and then hunt in that spot, fire the crossbow, and carry it out, unload it. So that's a challenge. Advantage compound. Let's talk about taking a shot. Taking a shot at a deer. We all know that deer jump the string. They make noise. My crossbow makes a lot of noise. It's got this thwack. And I have yet to shoot at a deer with it because I've hunted with it so little. Again, 3 days in the northern zone, which is practically 2 weeks, sometimes more, after the season has started, and then 2 weeks in the southern zone, and I'm not a big southern zone guy. So a lot of times I'm out there in the early season, in September, here in the northern zone, because it opens September 27th, and I'm out there quite a bit more that first week of October when the woods, especially if a cold front comes through, and I'm making the best of it. But I've yet to shoot at a deer with a crossbow, but I have to imagine they're going to jump the string because I've had it happen with a compound bow. And that crossbow is a lot louder. So I'd like to think that the advantage is with the compound in terms of noise. And maybe my crossbow is slightly faster than my compound. And what I'm seeing now, some crossbows are really fast. Some compound bows are really fast. I guess it depends on what you spend and what you own and what you care to hunt with. Again, that's going to be an individual thing. But I give the advantage to the compound there. Now, accuracy, of course. I'm going to say the accuracy. I shoot my crossbow a lot better than I shoot my compound. There's no question about it. I've been shooting my crossbow quite a bit here recently and a little bit earlier this summer. I did not have to dial it in this year. It was shooting pretty good. First couple times I shot it, I didn't shoot so good. But after I practiced a little more, I got better. I'm shooting very well at 30 yards right now. And that is my maximum range in the woods for my crossbow. I have hit the bullseye at 50 yards with my crossbow. But I also think about the fact that crossbow arrow is probably 6-8 inches shorter than my compound arrow. So it has a lot less kinetic energy. And when it reaches that animal at even 40 yards, it doesn't have the driving power. It may have a little bit more speed, but it doesn't have the kinetic energy that the arrow out of my compound has at 40 yards. And I'm not even that good of a shot at 40 yards anymore with my compound. Again, when I was young in my 20s and 30s, I was pretty good with a compound. I actually won a few trophies at tournaments, shooting fingers, no less. But as time has gone on, I'm not the shot I used to be despite the effort. And I have made the effort. Maybe not as much this year anticipating the crossbow, but in years past, I certainly did. So I will say the crossbow is more accurate for me, and I'm sure it is for most people, and that is an advantage. But when it comes to other things like carrying it in the woods, hauling it up a tree stand, cocking it in a tree stand, well, those things prove challenging. Again, these are just things that I am weighing on personally, my own personal experiences. Each of you has your own. I want to talk a little bit more about crossbows for new people, if you're new and just getting into it, when we come back right after this.
There's a great program available for youth who love to hunt and fish. It's called the Outdoor News Junior Pro Team, and any youth 18 or under can join for free at jrproteam.com. JPT program showcases useful videos and tips to help encourage the next generation to become stronger anglers and hunters. It's a platform to celebrate and inspire those outdoor loving youth. Check out the photos of Outdoor News Junior Pro Team members on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And visit our jrproteam.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Land, editor of New York Outdoor News. We're talking about crossbows, and the reason for that is here on September 27th in New York State, when the archery season opens in the northern zone, guys like me are going to be able to go afield with a crossbow. And the same for when the southern zone opens on October 1st, same case. The governor signed crossbow legislation back in August, and it's probably one of the most progressive things we've had happen here in New York State in terms of hunting in quite some time. It's going to put a lot more people in the woods, and it's going to extend the season for some folks, give them an earlier start, later start if you hunt in the southern zone. Overall, I'm excited about it, and I know there's some people out there who are not. But personally, I'm looking forward to giving it a try. I'll probably still hunt with my compound a little bit, and perhaps even my recurve, but But going forward, this is something new, and I'm looking forward to sharing in the excitement with other hunters, at least for this season. Now, that said, there's a lot of concerns, and we're going to have some articles coming up in future editions of New York Outdoor News about geared towards people who are new to crossbows. One of the things that folks are dealing with is, as I said previously, if you hunted with a crossbow in New York, you just had to have a muzzleloader privilege. That means there's people out there who have never taken a bow hunter education course. But now, if you're going afield with a crossbow in New York, you have to take that course. Now, you can take it online or you can take it in person, but you still have to take it. And it doesn't matter that you hunted previously with a crossbow with a muzzleloading stamp. Now you have to have the bow hunter privilege, and to get that privilege, you have to have a bow hunter education class. I took my bow hunter education class almost 4 decades ago. I'm aging myself here. And it's good for crossbow hunters to understand how an arrow works. Now, in the previous segment, I was talking about how my concern with a crossbow arrow at 50 yards, because of its size and weight, doesn't have the kinetic energy that a compound arrow does. And I'm even concerned about that at 40 yards, and in some cases, even 30 yards. For me, my distance is 30 yards, unless it's possibly, and I say possibly, a broadside shot in a clearing on a deer that is unaware of my presence, an unalert deer, then I may take the shot. But we'll see if that happens. So I've got criteria for myself, my crossbow, and my crossbow might be 10 years old, but it's a darn good crossbow, and it shoots very accurately, or very accurate, and I'm confident with it. But still, I have a limit on the shot I'm going to take, and it's very similar to what used to be my archery range with a compound bow, which I lowered in recent years to be 20, 25 yards, 30 yards max, just because of my lack of shooting ability as I've aged. So what the course will teach you if you haven't taken it is a little bit about arrow trajectory. Again, kinetic energy, how an arrow kills a deer, how a broadhead slices animal flesh, blood trailing. That's all stuff that a bow hunter needs to learn no matter what you're using to project that arrow, no matter what it is. It's still an arrow, it's still flying through the air, it's still breaking an animal's flesh, and that's how a broadhead does its damage. And we all as hunters need to understand that. So if you're cussing about having to take the course, spend that time, take that course. You'll learn a lot, even if it's a refresher. Heck, I've even thought about just taking it again myself, just to get caught up and see what's changed since back in 1988 when I took my course. So it's good to get out there and take the course. Now, a few things about crossbows, and some of our literature we've got coming up points this out. Be careful buying a used crossbow, an older used crossbow. Not that it's a piece of junk or anything like that, but there's certain safety features that are on modern crossbows that might not be on your older one. The main one is a rail that is out on the stock of the crossbow that you hold in your hand. If you're right-handed, then this is going to be your left hand. You're going to use your right hand is going to be your trigger finger. So your left hand is going to hold the stock. Just about the time I got into crossbow hunting, they were finally starting to put the guards on them to protect your hand from wrapping around the rail. Now, you might practice with the crossbow and not do it, but it might be a different story when a deer walks in front of you and you get excited. You wrap your hands around that rail, you pull that trigger, that crossbow string goes, and it hits your fingers. And it can be painful, it can be dangerous. So the newer models definitely have safety features like that. They also cock differently. I have one with a cranking device. Some of them you cock by hand. Some of them, I believe, have electronic versions of it. Either way, there's things that have changed just in the 10 years that I've owned a crossbow. So the other thing about buying a new crossbow is you get some support from the store you buy it from. And this is where the mom and pop shops come in. You know, that little archery shop down the road from you, that's a good guy to talk to about buying a crossbow. And if you do buy a used one, take it to that shop and have them take a look at it, maybe replace the string, maybe work on the cables and the wheels and the trigger and anything else that might need to be done. Get that thing serviced and make sure it's operating properly before you go afield. Now, you're saying, Dan, how come you're saying this now as the season's starting? And you're right. We probably should have had this discussion back in August after the law passed. But there's been a lot of excitement the past month, and that's something we're trying to rein in here a little bit. But anyways, you know, one of the gripes I've heard from retailers is people are walking into shops, buying a crossbow, and walking out the door without any knowledge of it. They're just going to take it out of the box, cock it, and shoot it. And, well, we don't want you to do that. And that's the reason for the education course and the reason you want to read your manuals and the reason you want to talk to the people you buy your crossbow from. You can never be too safe. And you want to learn about everything you can about these whatever you want to call them, these hunting implements. Everybody has a different name for them. To me, they're a bow. They're a bow. They archery limbs. They launch an arrow, and it uses a string, and it just has the word cross in front of it. So I'm excited about the crossbow season. I hope you are too, but I just want you to go out there and be safe. That's the main thing, is to go out there and be safe. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back with more about crossbows and a few other topics we want to cover right after this.
Like every serious angler in this region, I want to make the most of my time on the water. That's why I read OutdoorNews.com. This all-new digital resource is loaded with valuable tips, lake profiles, up-to-date fishing reports, gear reviews, and breaking news on laws and regulations that affect the sports we love. Plus, OutdoorNews.com will help you catch more and bigger fish. Be prepared and get ahead of the crowd. Join OutdoorNews.com today.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. And as we are on the cusp of archery season here, we've been talking about crossbows. We want everyone to be safe. If you're out there buying a new crossbow, don't just pull it out of the box and shoot it a couple times and go hunting. Take it to the range. Treat it like any other hunting implement. Practice with it as much as you can. Get all the right accessories. Don't shortchange yourself on anything. Be safe. Be safe with it while you're in the field with it. Point it in a safe direction, just as you would any other hunting implement, whether it's a gun or a bow. Keep it pointed safely. And, of course, be wary of that string when you're carrying a cocked crossbow. Make sure you are, you know, you. It's easy if you're not paying attention to have a stick get caught in it while you're walking through the brush or something like that. So be mindful of that all the time when you're in the woods. That's just some of my own experiences. But the most thing I want you to do is go out there and have fun. Looking forward to hearing some stories that are going to bound to come our way to New York Outdoor News from hunters, successful or not, what they experienced, what they liked, what they didn't like. Really looking forward to hearing from that. So be sure to reach out to us after you spend a little time in the woods with your crossbow or your compound bow. We wish you luck there too. And it won't be long before the gun seasons come along. I mean, here in the northern zone, our muzzleloading season opens on October 18th. A week later is our regular season. We've got the youth deer hunt coming up, which we'll be talking about quite a bit here in a couple of weeks. And then we've got the southern zone season opening, well, almost 2 months from now. I believe it's November 15th this year, which is about as early as it can open. So, man, the best time of the year is coming, the most wonderful time of the year. Let's switch gears now. Let's talk about a few things going on here in New York State. I just want to, we've had some serious drought conditions here in the Northeast, throughout the Northeast. And I've been experiencing it here. My driveway is like a dust bowl. Tilling Gardens has just been dust flying. But really where it's showing its ugly head is on our streams, our lakes, and our ponds, our rivers. Water levels are down. And what this has done is out in the Salmon River in Pulaski, Altmar, that area, which is usually a hot spot throughout the fall months, part of the lower Salmon River, that below the Pulaski Fish Hatchery, is closed at least until October 31st. The waters are low, and the hatchery folks got to worry about egg collection. And, I mean, this is a major salmon fishery, steelhead later on, and it draws thousands of people, you know, throughout these months. People, you know, not everybody deer hunts. Not everybody hunts at all. There's a lot of people who just like to fish. And they travel out to that area this time of year to make the most of it. And it happens in other states. So water levels are really something. The other thing that DEC is doing here in New York is asking people to really take it easy on stream trout. Maybe that pool of water you fish might be okay, but who knows what it's like upstream. And So they're really encouraging people to fish ponds and lakes rather than rivers and streams. And now that's going to change temporarily here because, like I said earlier, it's raining pretty hard. But that's not the solution to the problem. And as I look at the long-term weather forecast for my area, by next week at this time, we're right back in a long stretch of weather with no rain and temperatures in the 70s, sometimes even 80s, which is going to mess with the hunting, by the way. I'm not a warm weather hunting guy. But it's furthermore going to mess with drought conditions. And the other thing is wildfires. If you're camping or if you're hanging around a hunting camp here in weeks to come, hey, keep an eye on the weather because one of the leading causes of wildfires is messed up campfires, people leaving them unattended or you know, basically letting them get out of hand. That goes for the backyard too. So we want you to be careful out there. And I know there's some people that say, and I can't say I disagree, that, hey, a wildfire in the forest, you know, is good for deer habitat. It's good to have some young stuff. And I won't disagree with you there. But at the same time, you know, we've seen what goes on out west and how catastrophic they can be to people losing their homes. We had it right here in New York and New Jersey just last year. And we could smell that smoke all the way up here where I live in the Adirondacks. That was really something. And it wasn't pleasant. It was kind of disgusting, actually. So be careful out there. Be mindful of drought conditions and of course, dry conditions. And same thing while you're hunting. You know, people smoke cigarettes. They put them out on the ground. When I was researching my book, Deer Hunting in the Adirondacks, back in about 20 years ago, there was some literature out there I had from DEC on hunting seasons of past. And there were years back, you know, a century ago, maybe not that long, but perhaps even the post-World War II era, where they canceled all or part of the hunting season. They closed the woods because it was so dry, and they were worried about people who smoked starting fires. So it's a thing. I mean, it's something we have to be concerned with. That said, those are just a couple topics I wanted to touch on here as we turn the corner on the end of September and look into October and start getting into the hunting seasons. And one more thing I just want to say, I don't want to leave out small game. We've got a grouse season open here in the northern zone already. And on October 1st, a lot of small game seasons open. Cottontail rabbit, varying hare, coyote, pheasant seasons open. Some of the youth seasons for pheasant and waterfowl are already taking place. I can't even keep track of waterfowl seasons in New York, the Northeast, because they're all over the place. But they're happening too. And by the end of October, we'll be talking about trapping a little bit. And, of course, the deer season will start to really get cranking up here. With that, we wish you luck out there. Again, if you're going out with a bow or crossbow, please be careful, be mindful. And here's wishing you got a big buck on your pole or a big fish in your net. For New York Outdoor News and the Great Northeast Podcast, I'm Dan Ladd.
Missed a past episode of the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast? You can find previous programs at outdoornews.com or via your favorite podcast streaming platform. And for the rest of the story on the topics we cover on this program, get yourself a subscription to Outdoor News. Simply call 800-535-5191 or visit us at outdoornews.com. And don't forget to join us again here in 2 weeks to talk everything out of doors. Thanks for listening to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast.